Is there are two places in Hashem's Torah that He warns us about tampering with His Torah. The first one is a pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, where the Torah tells us in source number one, "Eis kol hadavar asher anochi mitzaveschem osos ishmeru laasos lo sosif alav velo sigra mimenu." Everything that I told you, guard it, do it, protect it, do not add on to it, and do not take away from it. Then, to help us better understand the pasuk, I want to tell you what Rashi says. You don't have Rashi in front of you, but if you want to learn a pasuk in Chumash, you have to learn Rashi. Rashi says, "Es kol hadavar." Rashi says, and I think it'll help us to better understand the pasuk. "Es kol hadavar," everything. Rashi says, "Kala," not like a bride. "Kala" with a kuf. "Kala kichamura," a light mitzvah like a heavy mitzvah. Rashi's telling us, you're going to look at the Torah, and you're going to see kol hadavar, you're going to see a lot of things that are expected of us, right? And you want to respect all mitzvos. You want to respect light mitzvos, you want to respect heavy mitzvos, easy mitzvos, hard mitzvos. You want to treat it all with respect. Now, why am I telling you this, Rashi? How does this help us to better understand the end of the pasuk? Don't add on and don't take away. What can we say? How does this, what Rashi just told us, every mitzvah you should take seriously, don't add on, don't take away. So it's giving us a little bit of a context, right? Meaning, you're so serious about Torah, you might think, I'm going to help the Torah by adding to the Torah. Or maybe, I'm going to enhance the Torah by what? By cutting corners? Does that help? Could a person think like that? I want to tell you a mashal, a really amazing mashal that maybe you've heard before. But if you haven't, it's an amazing mashal from the Dubna Magid. He asks a very simple question. And if we're talking about Baal Tosef today, right? I understand the problem of the Dubna Magid. Dubna? In Hebrew it's spelled with an aleph. Dalet vav beis nun aleph. Dubna. In English sometimes it's printed as Dubno Magid. Dubner. I thought it was Dubner Magid. Okay, the Dubna Magid was a contemporary of the Vilna Gaon. And he said he was known very famously for his mashalim, for his parables. So he said the following. He said, "I understand why the Torah says don't take away. But what's wrong with adding on? What's wrong with adding on? What's wrong with adding on? Do more for Hashem? What's wrong with that?" So he gave the following mashal. He said, imagine a fellow comes to his friend and he says, "I would like to borrow, I'm making a big party. I don't have enough kelim, kelim mi kelim shonim," to quote from Megillas Esther. I don't have enough utensils, and I know you have a beautiful silver serving tray. Can I borrow your silver serving tray for my dinner party?" So he says, "I don't know. It's very expensive. You'll take good care of it." "Yes, I'll take excellent care of it. I'll take very good care of it." Okay. So the fellow borrows the dinner tray, borrows the platter for his dinner party, and he comes back a few days later to return it. And he knocks on the door, the fellow opens the door, and he greets him, right? The guy who's returning the tray, as the balabais opens the door, he says to the balabais, "Mazel tov." "Mazel tov? Why do I get a mazel tov?" He said, "Look," he's holding this big silver platter, and on this silver platter are a couple little small silver plates. So he says, "What are these? These aren't mine." He said, mazel tov, your silver platter had babies. These are yours." So he's like staring at him like, "Well, what are you talking about?" So he says, yeah, "these are yours." "Okay, great. Thanks. You can borrow from me anytime you want." Guy comes back a week later. He says, "I'm making another party. I know you have that big candelabra. I'd love that to be like the centerpiece on my table." He says, "Okay, sure, no problem." You know? So the fellow goes, he borrows it, comes back a few days later, knocks on the door. "I'm here to return your candelabra," and you get a mazel tov. "You got a mazel tov." What's the mazel tov?" He says, "Look, these two little silver lachters, these two little silver candle holders, these are yours. Your candelabra, Baruch Hashem. Candelabra gave birth to these." "Okay, this is great." Guy comes back a third time, like every good mashal, three times. Guy comes back a third time, and he says, "I'd like to borrow." "No, what should you borrow the third time? Any suggestions?" "I'd like to borrow, you have that beautiful crystal vase, right? Or maybe I want to borrow that beautiful silver kiddush cup." That beautiful silver Kiddush cup, that big goblet. Can I use that for my dinner party? She says, of course. Pleasure. A couple days go by. A week goes by. Doesn't show up. So the Baal Bayis comes looking for him. He comes to his neighbor. He knocks on the door. He opens the door. And the guy's looking at him. He's going like this, shaking his head. He said, I got bad news. Your Kiddush cup passed away. He's like, you got him. Give me back my Kiddush cup. He said, oh, so you believed me when I told you that your candelabra had babies. And you believed when I told you your silver platter, right, had children. But now, okay, so you're going to play the game. You've got to play the game. So says the Dumna Magid. He says, that's what the Torah is telling us. What's wrong with adding on mitzvos? Yeah. I'll add on mitzvos. Because you know what happens? Once I start adding a little bit over here, then I feel I have a right to what? To take away over there. So Dumna Magid, so that's why the Torah says, don't add, because if you add, you'll come to take away. You'll come to make your own Torah.
So that's like zero.
Okay? So that's a very famous mashal from the Dumna Magid, which you have to know if you're learning about Baal Tosef. But the Torah tells us in two places Baal Tosef. Baal Tosef, Baal Tigra. Don't add on, don't take away. So again, Rashi says, as kol adavar, everything I'm telling you, kal v'chamura, take it seriously. So you'll say, oh, I'm going to enhance the Torah by adding on. So the Torah says, well, don't do many favors, Hashem says. Just do the 613. Lo sosif alav, v'lo sigra mimenu. Don't add on, don't take away. Okay? How does Rashi, I'll get to your comments in a second, how does Rashi on the spot, here in Parshas Re'eh, how does Rashi explain lo sosif alav? Rashi gives three examples. Okay? Write them down. In source number one, when the Pasuk says, Lo Sosif Alav, Rashi says, I'll give you three examples of what I think Baal Tosef is. Now he's quoting from the Medrash. He got it from the Medrash Halacha, the Sifrei. Rashi says, don't add on means a person knows that our tefillin, of course, have four parshios. I want to put five parshios in tefillin. Rashi gives a second example. On Sukkot, we take the Dalet Minin. Someone says, I like five minim. I like Esther, Glulav, Hadassah, Maravos, and I'm also going to take, what? A rose. I think it looks pretty. So I have five minim. Rashi's third example, Birchas Kohanim. How many brachos are in Birchas Kohanim? Three brachos. Three brachos in Birchas Kohanim, right? Three brachos. A person says, I'm going to add my own bracha. I'm going to add a fourth bracha. Give a little extra blessing to the Jewish people. So Rashi says those are three examples the Medrash brings of Baal Tosef. Don't add to your tefillin, don't add to your lulav. A Kohen who's blessing Klal Yisrael has a formulation of how to bless them. Don't add your own nusach to the bracha. Okay, those are Rashi's examples, again, from the Sifrei, from the Medrash of Baal Tosef. I looked up the Medrash, it's interesting. The Medrash says the examples the Medrash actually brings are lulav and tzitzis. So I'm not sure why Rashi took the lulav example, took the arba minim example, and then added this tefillin example as opposed to tzitzis. Now we'll see another, I'll show you somewhere else where Rashi gives a different list in a second. Okay, let's hear some comments. Yes?
There's also this theory that like with the words of Barak for God, it starts with Omni, but like it's one of those phrases created that every single thing in the Torah has like specific meaning.
Omni-significance.
Yeah.
Omni-significance, yes.
Every single word, letter, move we make.
Yeah. So Rabbi Nachman says, a Jew twirls his payas and the olamos are shaking. Everything we do is significant.
So, right, so with omni-significance, it would almost,
Baal Tosef
would kind of be an insult.
Right, because it shows that you don't believe that the mitzvah is precisely calibrated. Right. So if we believe in the omni-significance of everything a Jew does, if we believe that you're not really helping by trying to add, then yes, we're really rejecting Hashem in that kind of way. Okay? Let's go on. Source number two. Here's the other place where the Torah talks about it, in Vaschanan. Yeah? Yeah, okay. Obviously.
Then we'll know for sure that
But it's not... The Dumna Magid's point is not the main, you know, mitzvah in terms of the way the Chazal are going to be koveh the mitzvah. But his point is an important point. A person thinks, and we do this all the time, by the way. Again, whether or not it's a biblical violation of Baal Tosef, whether we do it, but I'm saying emotionally we do this all the time. A person knows that he's cheating in business. So he starts to, he's doing really well because he's cheating in business. He gives a lot of tzedakah. So he's overcompensating in one area for his shortcoming in another area. Right? A person says, I don't like going to minyan in the morning. So you know what? I'll rationalize it by I'll stay up really late learning Torah. And that way when I sleep through minyan, at least I can have a justification for it. So that's the Don Magid's mashal. I try to overcompensate. Look how much I do for you here, Hashem. Hashem said, whoa, don't do extra for me there and cut corners there. Just do what I ask of you. It's a very chashuv sugya in Machshava, this whole sugya of Baltas. Okay, I want to keep moving because I want to stick to the clock a little bit. So if we look at the second pasuk, which is really the first time the Torah has it, I switched the order because I wanted to show you the Ramban, which is in Ve'eschanan, and I wanted to show you both psukim before. So I put the pasuk in Re'eh first. But really the first time we encounter this in the Torah is in source number 2, is in Parshas Ve'eschanan. Lo sosifu al adavar asher anochi mitzaveh eschem. Don't add on to that which I command you. V'lo sigru umimenu. L'shmor es mitzvos Hashem elokeichem asher anochi mitzaveh eschem. Rashi again, on the words lo sosifu, the first two words, gives three examples. He changes the examples here. Okay? Maybe it's significant, maybe it's not. Something to think about. Rashi's examples in Ve'eschanan, he says, don't add on to your tefillin. Don't add on to your lulav. So those two are the same. But here, instead of mentioning Birchas Kohanim, like he does in Re'eh, he mentions tzitzis. Okay? Don't add a fifth strand to your tzitzis, a fifth corner. Don't try to make a five-cornered garment. Okay? Fine. Now the Gemara, by the way, where did Rashi get Birchas Kohanim from? So there's different sources he got it from, but one source he got it from is when the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chav Ches talks about this pasuk in Ve'eschanan. The example the Gemara brings is Birchas Kohanim. Okay, so that's definitely a very good example that Rashi brought. The Gemara says on this pasuk in Ve'eschanan, don't add on. The Gemara says maybe a Kohen's going to get up to Duchen and he's going to have so much love for the Jewish people. He's Mevarech Es Amo Yisrael Ba'ava. So he says, not only am I going to give you the three brachos from Parshas Naso, I'm going to add my own bracha. So to such a person, the Torah is saying, whoa, Kohen, it's very generous of you. Just bless the blessings of God. You don't need to add anything here. Okay, so these are the two psukim as they appear in the Torah. Now the question is, what is the mitzvah? Who is it speaking to? What is the mitzvah? Right? What is this iser? Not to add, not to subtract. Okay, so you saw some of the sources. What does the Ramban say? What does the Ramban seem to focus on in terms of defining this iser? Based on what I just told you in Rashi, let's slow down a little. What did Rashi tell you the prohibition is? You're doing a mitzvah. You're taking the Arba Minim. You're wearing tefillin. You're reciting Birchas Kohanim. Right? You're wearing tzitzis. How did Rashi, based again on Chazal, define this prohibition? What am I not allowed to do? Right, to change a detail of the mitzvah. Excellent. To enhance the mitzvah. To change the mitzvah. I'm going to add a rose to my Dalet Minim. I'm going to add a fifth parsha to my tefillin. According to Rashi, again, the examples that he gave, he's really just, again, he's quoting from Chazal, but the examples, the point I'm trying to make is the way that we encounter this prohibition in Chazal is usually not about creating new mitzvos. It's about altering, tampering with Hashem's mitzvos that are on the books. So instead of four parshios in tefillin, I'm doing five. Instead of arba minim, I'm doing five. Instead of three brachos b'yachas kohanim, I'm doing four. Right? According to Rashi, according to Chazal, the focus, the examples that Chazal talk about is where I add to a specific mitzvah that's already on the books. What does the Ramban introduce us to in source number 3? The Ramban gives us a whole new perspective on this prohibition. The Ramban talks about what? The prohibition of what? Of creating new mitzvahs. The Ramban starts off by quoting Rashi. You don't have that part in front of you. I cut that part out of the source sheet. The Ramban quotes Rashi, gives all of Rashi's examples. And then the Ramban says, Ulefi da'ati, in my humble opinion, afilu bada lasos mitzvah bifnei atzma. Even a person who is bada, who creates, who invents a mitzvah, who makes up his own mitzvah. And the most obvious example the Ramban brings of someone who tried to do this in a very significant way is who? Yeravam ben Nevat. The wicked Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat, the Navi says about him, that he made his own holiday. Asher bada milibo. He made up in his own heart, he invented his own holiday. He decided, you know what? I don't like Sukkos. I'm going to make my own version of Sukkos. When? In Cheshvan. I'm gonna make my own Yom Tov in Cheshvan. I don't like too much happening in Tishrei. I'm gonna make my own Yom Tov in Cheshvan. So is that Baal Tosef? The Ramban says that's also Baal Tosef. He's not arguing with Rashi. He agrees that if you add to your tefillin, that's Baal Tosef. But he's adding a whole new category for us. If you create a mitzvah, if you try to create your own mitzvah, that's called Baal Tosef. Okay? Yes.
I'm really struggling.
Okay, so this is what you wanted to talk about. Let's hear it.
Yeah, just about adding your own mitzvah, like the tithes from Minhagei Yisrael that become almost like mitzvahs, like wearing a kippah.
Okay.
Creating our own form of celebrations, how not saying it's the same thing, but I'm saying
Purim. Let's take Purim.
Or even like a Sudas Mashiach.
Let's take Purim. Is anyone saying that's a mitzvah? You're saying that's.
I'm saying creating our own things and even in general,
Listen, when we talk about, let me just take a step back. When we talk about the 613, right? When we talk about that number 613, which not everyone agrees with, by the way, but we're used to thinking 613 mitzvahs, right? There's one Maamar Chazal in the end of Maseches Makos. Rav Simlai says 613, but let's assume we're comfortable with 613. Now, 613, there's a lot more than 613, is what you're saying. There's a lot more things that we call, you did a mitzvah, right? Meaning, if every second grader said, when his mora or her mora said, oh, sweetie, you did a mitzvah today. So the student says, really? Which one of the 613 was that? So it's a fair question. Is it one of the 613? So why are we calling it a mitzvah? So if you look in the Vilna Gaon's brother Sefer, the Vilna Gaon's brother, Rav Avram, wrote a Sefer called Ma'alah Satorah. In the beginning of the Ma'alah Satorah, he writes that whenever we talk about 613, we're talking about the roots, so to speak, from which all mitzvahs emerge. So he says there's really a lot more than 613. There's 613 essential starting points, and then there are many, many, many branches that emerge from there. So you're telling me, well, we do this. So we have to ask ourselves, are we claiming that that's 614? Or are we saying that this is an expression of one of the 613? 613 is a framework by which many, many things, right, exist. So the Torah doesn't directly talk about helping an old lady cross the street, but that's a branch of Atlecha Kamocha. That's an extension of, right? So that's why we say to a kid, oh, you just did a mitzvah by helping that old lady cross the street, right? Where the Torah doesn't say you should help an old lady cross the street. So that's a branch that emerges from one of the 613 roots. So now, are you still as troubled?
There's also the concept of, like you were talking about the tefillin and the tzitzis and the lulav of what, like, so let's say Hashem intended for us to wear tzitzis with four-cornered
tzitzis, yeah.
What about what I'm saying, because you wanted there to only be four corners,
right?
And then let's say someone wears multiple pairs of tzitzis. That would be multiple.
Well, we have to see. Is multiple pairs of stitches? That's it.
Yeah,
that's all right, so we're getting ahead of ourselves. We're getting ahead of ourselves. It's a fair question, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Okay?
That's what I'm trying to say.
We're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Okay. So the Ramban introduces us, again, I'm not going to read every source fully inside, but the Ramban introduces us to the concept using Yeravam ben Nevat as his first example. He then deals with what? Purim. How do you have Mikra Megillah? How does that fit in? So the Ramban is dealing with, not again a person who's tampering and playing around with an existing mitzvah, but the Ramban is introducing us to the prohibition of creating mitzvahs, making up new ideas, and calling them mitzvahs. That's how the Ramban is, again, not disagreeing with Rashi, but he's adding this other dimension to the prohibition, to the violation of Baal Tosef. Okay? I'm debating if I should share something really interesting with you. Alright, I'll try to add it quickly. And you'll either chap it or you won't chap it. When the Ramban quotes Rashi, which again you don't have in front of you, it's the first part of the Ramban that I edited out. When the Ramban first quotes Rashi, the Ramban adds another example. The Ramban talks about a person who sleeps in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Now we know that after the 7-day Yom Tov of Sukkis, there is what the Gemara refers to as a regel bifnei atzmo. We sometimes think of it in our minds as just like the last part of Sukkot, but it's not. It's its own independent Yom Tov that happens to be back-to-back with Sukkot. That's why you're going to make a Shachianu, Right? It's not the end of Sukkot. The last days of Pesach, you're going to make a new Shachianu on the Yom Tov at the end of Pesach. That's part of Pesach. Shmini Atzeres is its own Yom Tov. It gets confusing in Chutz Laaretz because every day is a, right, is a suffix day. Maybe that's why the Shulchan Aruch rules that a person sits in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Again, many Chassidim do, different opinions. The Pasha Pshat of the Gemara is that one does. Right? Because it's the same suffix that exists on the first and the same reason you have 2 days of Yom Tov at the beginning of Sukkot. Okay, but really, thinking in an ideal fashion, in an Eretz Yisrael fashion, Shmini Atzeres is its own Yom Tov, Sukkot is over, and you shouldn't be in the Sukkah. So what happens if I sleep in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? Is that Baal Tosef?
Yeah.
Why?
No.
Is that Baal Tosef? Listen to the Ramban. The Ramban says, Rashi, listen carefully. Chaver, give me a second. Rashi gave us his examples, right? We saw Rashi's examples. Tefillin, lulav, birchas kohanim, tzitzis. The Ramban says, not only these, ela'af hayashin b'sukkah b'shmini b'kavana loke. If you sleep in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, right? Intentionally, to add on to the mitzvah, you get malchus. That's also Baal Tosef. Now, why did Rashi, this is the interesting thing I want to share with you. Why did Rashi not give the example of sleeping in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? Now, here, I'll tell you why it's interesting. The question's like this. If I sleep in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, have I ruined everything that I've done in the sukkah for the last 7 days? Have I just destroyed the entire mitzvah of sukkah?
Yeah, because you're making
something that's real. Or what's done was done, it was proper, and now I'm doing something wrong. There's a sefer called Kli Chemda. Kli Chemda was written by one of the main students of the Avnei Nezer. Okay, the Sakachav Rebbe. Avnei Nezer is someone probably we've heard of more likely than the Kli Chemda. Kli Chemda was a big gaon, one of these big Polish, you know, gaonim, really Torah geniuses. Okay, his name is Rav Meir Dan Plotsky, and he was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer, and he was a Hele Giyid, and a very great Torah genius. So here's what he writes in Parshas Veschan. His Rebbe is the Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer was the father of the Shem Yishmuel. That's the Shem Yishmuel on the board.
Who's saying this?
Every Thursday last week we used to learn the Shem Yishmuel. Shem Yishmuel's father, yeah. Everyone knows who Rami is. What's your name? Okay, so who's Avram? He's named for the Avnei Nezer. Rav Avram Sukachov. The Avnei Nezer. So the Avnei Nezer... Now, Avnei Nezer had a student who wrote a sefer called Kli Chemda. Okay? Kli Chemda, that's what we're going to quote from now. So the Kli Chemda, in Parshas Veschanan, in Os Yud Zayin, says the following. Why didn't Rashi give the example of sleeping in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? The reason is the following. What happens... What happens if I add that fifth dimension to my tzitzis?
It's not tzitzis.
Is it not tzitzis anymore, or the four are still good, and the fifth one is not proper? What do you think? Does everyone hear the question? If I add on to the tzitzis, does that undermine the entire mitzvah? Now I didn't do tzitzis. It's a new entity called five-cornered garment, and it's nothing. Or the four are good, but I'm also doing something wrong.
It's like saying...
No, BK, BK,
b'chavod. Draw the line between changing a mitzvah and just being more stringent on a specific mitzvah. Like, how do you know what you're doing? Like, how do you define that?
So that's what we're trying to figure out. It's a very fine line between... Okay, this is what the Kli Chemda is dealing with. So the Kli Chemda thinks that Rashi didn't give the example... Listen, Rashi did not give the example of sleeping in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Why? He quotes, the Kli Chemda quotes from the Baal Yatosfos on Chumash, the Das Sakenim of the Baal Yatosfos on Chumash, where they say on these words, Lo so sifu, don't add on, in Parshas Veschanan. The Baal Yatosfos say, Kol hamosif goreya, anyone who adds detracts, meaning, that if you make a tzitzis, if you make a five-cornered tzitzis garment, then what? Then even the four corners don't count. You did nothing. You did absolutely nothing. Okay? But if you sit in a sukkah on that eighth day, you see why it's different? Why is it different? Sukkot is over. So why should what I did on Sukkot be ruined by the fact that on a different day I decided to sit in a sukkah? The garment is one garment. It's all or nothing. Right? So the Baal HaTosfos will say, if you wear a five-cornered garment, you get nothing. If you sit in a sukkah after Sukkot, that's wrong. But what happened on Sukkot is still good. What does the Ramban apparently hold? By adding this example, says the Kli Chemda, by adding the mitzvah, by adding this example of sitting in the sukkah or sleeping in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, if you do that, if you're implying that Sukkot is actually on that eighth day also, then the whole mitzvah gets ruined. He ties it together. Now again, it's kind of...
You take Sukkot when you have the fourth string, so then your mitzvah is done, we're adding the fifth string, you're not adding on to it.
So it depends. Do we view it? Can you tie it together in that way, and by extension, ruin the whole thing? So he thinks there might be a machlokas Rashi Ramban about that. Very interesting. Okay, I just wanted to point that out in passing. Let's go on. Let's go to the Rambam now. How does the Rambam introduce us to Baal Tosef? You could start off by thinking it's very similar to the Rambam, but we'll see. Rav Soloveitchik thought it was a little bit different. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mamrim the following. The Rambam says, we know that the rabbis have the ability to play around with the Torah, to tamper with the Torah, to make changes in the Torah, to make significant changes that last forever. For example, is a Jew allowed to eat a chicken and cheese sandwich? He is? A Jew is allowed today? A Jew is allowed to eat it? I asked you if a Jew today is allowed to eat. Okay? So that, Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, used to eat chicken and cheese sandwiches. Chevra, if you lived in Rabbi Yossi HaGalili's town, you would have eaten chicken. Your Rebbe, your Mor, the Asher, would have said chicken and cheese, no problem. Now, Bizman is that no one in their right mind who wants to be an Orthodox Jew is going to rely on Rabbi Yossi HaGalili to eat chicken and cheese. But at the time, that was his psak, and if you live then, you're good. You're not in trouble. That was the psak was still evolving at that time. Okay, so if you're Mor Dasra, if you're Rebbe, with Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, and that's how you passed, and you were good, you were fine. Bizman is that no one's allowed to eat chicken and cheese. No Orthodox Jew would claim you're allowed to eat chicken and cheese. Okay, so that's something that has become a real significant part of normative halacha. No Jew who wants to follow halacha eats chicken and cheese. Who created that idea? The rabbis created that idea. The rabbis created it, and now it's become so accepted on the books that it's a new Torah. If I go back to Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, they ate chicken and cheese. If I fast forward now to Tavshin Ayin Vav, no one eats chicken and cheese. So says the Rambam, how could the rabbis make such significant changes? Why did the rabbis make that change, by the way? Why did the rabbis say no chicken and cheese? Because the Torah says don't eat milk and meat. Meat means animal meat, animal flesh. Right? But they were worried, if I eat chicken and cheese, I'll come to what? Eat cheeseburgers. I'll come to eat cheeseburgers. Right? So to prevent us from violating the Torah, the rabbi said, don't even eat chicken and cheese. Okay? But the Rambam's question is, why is that not adding on to the Torah? So the Rambam says very clearly, where's the key line? Who can show me where the key line is in the Rambam? This is a very famous Rambam, by the way. Because the Rambam comes out exceptionally clear that chicken and cheese is for sure derabana. If we were learning the laws of kashrus, that might be an interesting discussion. But the Rambam is very clear, chicken and cheese is only derabana. But they changed the rules, so how does that fly? New, where's the answer? Where is the line? How did the rabbis present it? When they presented chicken and cheese, did the rabbi say the Torah prohibits chicken and cheese? Let's start from the fifth line, V'im. The last word on the fifth line, V'im. V'im yasur basara over yomer shehu bichlal hagedi v'hu asur min haTorah hareza mosif. If the rabbis speak in the name of God and say, God says you can't have chicken and cheeseburgers, that is a lie. God never said that. And you're adding to the Torah. But if the rabbis come along and say what? We feel that it would be best to what? To not eat chicken and cheeseburgers. Right? Not to eat chicken and cheese. Because we're worried that you're going to come to violate the word of God, which is don't eat milk and meat, real meat. So as long as the rabbis present their gzeros, their takanos, their institutions, as long as they present it as what? As a rabbinic enactment, as long as they don't misrepresent God's Torah, that's okay. But if a rabbi gets up and says, because he's trying to intimidate someone into being a better Jew, and say, the Torah says, it's a lie. That's a complete lie. That's zeal of HaTorah. To present something as the Dvar Hashem that was not the Dvar Hashem is what the Torah is warning us about. Okay? So again, the Rambam at the end of the fifth line where he says, Im Yasser Basar Of, if they try to prohibit Basar Of, fowl, right? Bird's meat. And they say that this is included within the prohibition of don't cook a kid in its mother's milk. That's not true. Hareza Mosif, that's called adding on to the Torah. Avalim Amar Basar Of Mutter Min HaTorah. But if they say that really eating chicken and cheese, the Torah allows. Va'anu Na'asur Oso. And we are coming to prohibit it. So that's fair. And the rabbis have the authority to protect the Torah in that way, as long as they don't misrepresent what they say versus what the Torah says. Okay? Yes?
They say that we want the Torah says you need four corners, but we're adding a fifth corner. That's also fair?
If they say the Torah says four corners and we're adding a fifth corner. Right. Now you're so Maishi's asking interesting. He's saying now you're tampering, you're not just adding a new dimension, right?
There still is the Isser of not eating.
Correct.
The meat.
Correct. Now you're adding an external dimension. Okay, so that's very important because what does Rav Soloveitchik say in the next, you know what the truth is? I want to just mention this Vilna Gaon. This is interesting. The Vilna Gaon, in source number 5 in the Adaras Eliyahu, I'll just mention it quickly, says that it could be... So at this point, we've introduced two very different types of Baal Tosef, right? We've introduced tampering with a mitzvah, with an existing mitzvah, like adding on to your tzitzis or your tefillin or your lulav. Now we've introduced this concept of adding a new category. The Ramban says... it would be also to create a new mitzvah. Okay? The Rambam is telling us the rabbis have the ability to create as long as it's clear what their intentions are, and they're not doing it in the name of God. They're not claiming that this is part of the Torah. Okay? So the two very different categories. It's a question of Baal Tosef in the form of adding mitzvos versus Baal Tosef in the form of adding to a mitzvah. Says the Vilna Gaon, and I'll just share it with you outside. It's a pretty easy piece to read. You can read it on your own. Says the Vilna Gaon, maybe that's why there are two psukim in the Torah. Maybe the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh and the pasuk in Parshas Va'aschanan are talking about these two different categories of Baal Tosef. Now the truth is, when I read the psukim, I would have guessed the opposite direction from the way he presents it, but here's what he says. The Vilna Gaon says, in Parshas Re'eh, in source number 1, it's talking about adding to a mitzvah. In Parshas Ve'eschanan, the Torah is warning us don't add on a new mitzvah. Don't create a new mitzvah. The Vilna Gaon says, how do I know? He says, because in Parshas Ve'eschanan, it's putting it in the context of the 613. It says there are 613 mitzvot. I mean, Torah doesn't actually say that. I'm in violation of Baal Tosef myself. I just told you the Torah says there are 613 mitzvot. The Torah never said that. Rav Simlai said that at the end of Maseches Makos. Okay? But the Torah is presenting all of the mitzvot, and then the Torah says, don't add on. So says the Vilna Gaon, what does that mean? Don't add on a new mitzvah. In Parshas Re'eh, in Devarim Perek Yud Gimel, the Torah is saying, don't add on to a pre-existing mitzvah. Okay? So it's very nice. The Vilna Gaon in a very creative way, shows us why the Torah talks about this twice. Because there's two very different worlds of Baal Tosef. There's don't make up mitzvos, that's Parshas Ve'eschanan. And then there's don't tamper with mitzvos, that's Parshas Re. Okay? Now, getting back to the Rambam and the Ramban. Rav Soloveitchik points out, in source number 6, in his writings, in his writings which were printed on Maseches Sukkah, the Rav says, it could be that there's a very interesting machlokas going on here between the Rambam and the Ramban. Who is the Torah talking to when it says, don't make mitzvos? Now we're talking about the category of adding a new mitzvah. Saying chicken and cheese is prohibited. Or like Yeravim ben Nevat did, creating his own Yom Tov. Who is the Torah warning not to do that? The Rambam puts it all in the context of who? Of the rabbis, of Beis Din. The Ramban, in source number 3, spoke about even an individual creating his own thing. The Rambam, in source number 4, said, rabbis, be careful. Don't speak on behalf, right? The rabbinic association, the rabbis shouldn't speak out in the name of God. The rabbis shouldn't create things. So says the Rav in source number 6, take a look in the second line, Da Rambam Kosev HaIsser, when the Rambam describes the Isser of what? Of creating, of inventing a mitzvah chadasha, Dafka Binogeya Lahoras Beistin. The Rambam says, rabbis, don't create new things. The Yesod HaIsser Hu Al HaBeistin, not to create a new mitzvah. The Beis Din is being told, don't create new mitzvahs. What's an individual being told? Don't tamper with the mitzvahs that already exist. According to the Rambam, when we have those examples, don't add to your lulav, that's speaking to an individual. Don't add to your tefillin, that's speaking to an individual. Don't create a new category of mitzvahs, that's only speaking to the rabbis. Now why? Logically, why does that make sense?
It's for one person to create their own thing. I mean,
doesn't mean anything.
Following, not,
right.
It won't be as impactful.
We're not worried about some yachid. Let's say a guy goes around and he says, you know, my new mitzvah is that I eat an apple on Shavuos. That's my mitzvah. So the Torah's not, the Torah doesn't care what this guy is doing. You can call it a mitzvah, but you have no power to make that a mitzvah. You can call it whatever you want. The Torah doesn't have to tell this person you're creating a major problem for Torah, because no one cares what he's doing. Right? The individual who has mitzvahs already on the books, like tefillin, don't mess around with that. Don't start tampering with that. That, the mitzvah already exists. And if you tamper with it, that actually makes a difference. But in terms of creating a new category of mitzvos, the Torah doesn't have to tell a yachid not to do that, because who cares what he does? The Ramban, apparently, take a look at the end of the first column, two lines from the end, Baram meharamban, ala Torah, from the Ramban that we saw, mashma shehu sover, the Ramban seems to hold, she iser levadot mitzvah chadasha chal afilo al yachid. The Ramban believes that every individual is being told, don't make your own mitzvah. And the first example he gave is exactly that. That Yeravim ben Nevat, who was a wicked king of the Jewish people, went and created a mitzvah, and he got a big following. So you see that a single person can actually, now he was a king, he was in a position of power, okay? But it could be that there is a fundamental machlokas between the Ramban and the Rambam about everyone agrees, again, the individual is being told, don't tamper with mitzvahs. Don't add to your tefillin, don't add to your lulav. But what about this second aspect of Baal Tosef that tells me don't create new categories of mitzvahs? Who's that speaking to? Says the Rav, it could be, according to the Ramban, it's speaking to every person. According to the Rambam, it's only speaking to the powers that be, namely Beis Din, the rabbinic authority. Why is that so? Let's just finish the Rav and then I'll take your comments. He says on the left column, in the fourth line, Vitam hachiluk nirali. The reason for this distinction seems to be Shehorah is based in Shmei Horah b'chol davar. When Beis Din offers a proclamation, that's a big deal. When there's a Horah is based in, when there's a ruling of Beis Din, that is a binding ruling. They have now redefined Torah. They've changed Torah. Ulafichach, kishemorim sheyesh mitzvah chadasha, when based in rules there's a new mitzvah, in heavens, that matters. Their ruling matters. Yesh chalos, shei maisa hora. They've done an act of creating a mitzvah, and that's called really creating something, and that's usher. Masha'ein kein a yachid. When some random guy says, oh, this is what I'm declaring a mitzvah. There's no chalos, nothing happens. He doesn't have the authority. He can say whatever he wants. But his words are not what? Transformative. Chalos. There's no status change. We've been using chalos in Kiddushin. There's no status change. Nothing happens when he makes his declaration. Okay? On the other hand, what about tampering with a mitzvah? Why does, when a yachid tampers with a mitzvah, why does that matter? What did the Rambam say? He agrees. The Rambam agrees that's a problem. In terms of creating a mitzvah, only Beis Din has the power to actually do something meaningful in terms of creating a mitzvah. What about tampering with a mitzvah? What would the Rambam say? Again, the Rav's not addressing what the Rambam would say. What would the Rambam say? Why is tampering with the mitzvah matter, according to the Rambam? Because the mitzvah already exists. The spiritual energy already exists in the world. The chalos came about when God decreed you should wear tefillin. So tefillin's already there. The power is already there. Now you're misusing that power by adding a fifth parsha to your tefillin. By taking a rose with your lulav and esrog. Every yachid has the ability, as an individual is commanded in that mitzvah, has the ability to make a difference if he starts playing around with it. You hear? So in terms of creating new categories, an individual doesn't have enough power to do anything meaningful in that way. That would make it usur. But in terms of tampering with what he's already been commanded, that already an individual can make a meaningful impact in a negative sense. And that's why there would be a prohibition. Don't you dare add to your tzitzis. Don't you dare add to your tefillin. That's being spoken to every individual. Okay? A couple quick comments. Yeah. Maishi and then Yitzchak Mordechai.
You add like an actual tefillin. You put on your head and both arms. Right.
So that's touching back on the Kli Chemda, right? Meaning at what point do I say Ad Kan this mitzvah, now it's another mitzvah? And that's Yaakov's question, that's Rashi's question. Right? Meaning what happens if I I lost in that. What'd you say?
Is that if the whole ghost only had four corners and I put on multiple pairs.
Right, multiple pairs of scissors, right. So that's the same question. Is that more of the same energy, or that's creating a new energy that's damaging? Again, looking at it through the lens of Machshava again, in terms of Omni's significance, is more of the right thing good, or is more of the right thing already Hosafa that's damaging?
On every
garment.
Right. Yeah, so,
seemingly there'd be no problem with wearing, exactly. So tzitzis might be easier to answer than tefillin. You have to see with tefillin. You ever see someone wearing two pairs of tefillin at the same time? You seen that? At the same time, you seen that? Sure, I've seen that. Yeah, at once. Also arm. Yes, that's correct.
Actually, you know, single arm, double coverage on the head.
Double that? Yeah, Rabbi David.
That's a crazy
call. Rav Gerzi does it, yeah? It's very Kabbalistic, it's very deep. Okay, Chaver, we only have a couple minutes left, so I really want to wrap up. So now that we had a wonderful time learning about Baal Tosef, in a very broad sense, we have to get ready for Rosh Hashanah. I didn't pick this sugya just to learn a random pasuk in Chumash, or two random sukkim in Chumash. Not that they're random. I shouldn't call a pasuk in Chumash random. Something random about a pasuk in Chumash. You know, someone once came to the Rugged Shover, and he was trying to sound smart. He was talking to the Rugged Shover going. So he says to the Rugged Shover, yeah, he can't sound smart if you talk to the Rugged Shover. So that was a bad premise. But he came to the Rugged Shover of Yosef Rosen, and he was trying to sound like he has a great bakias. This guy was trying to show off. So he says, yeah. He said, there's a far out Yerushalmi. I'm trying to bring like an obscure source. A far out Yerushalmi. So the Rugged Shover said, the Yerushalmi's now, he says, you're far out. So the Yerushalmi is exactly where it needs to be. The Torah is exactly where it needs to be. We're far. It's not like random. Again, I have to speak more sensitively. Yeah, there's nothing random about a pasuk in Vaschan and Array. Okay? But we have to figure out why we picked this topic today. So we have to wrap up this year. We're not just learning this because it's not Shabbos Parshas Vaschan, it's not Shabbos Parshas Array. But it is almost Rosh Hashanah. And on Rosh Hashanah, we seem to do Baal Tosef. Let's wrap up this year in a very simple way. The Gemara tells us in source number 7, Rav Yitzchak asked the question, Lama Token Rosh Hashanah? Why do we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Lama Token, says the Gemara. Rachmana Amartiku, the Torah says to blow the shofar. What are you talking about? What's your question? Lama Marian. Why do we do Trua? Why do we do Trua? Because the Torah says Zichron Trua. What are you asking? No. What I'm really asking, Ela Lama Tokinu Marian Kishain Yoshvin Vitokinu Marian Kishain Omdin. Why do we blow shofar, what we refer to as Tekios Demiyushav, the Tekios that we sit for, and then we blow shofar again, the Tekios that we stand for? Now this Gemara is a little confusing until you know what it's talking about, because you say, I never sit when we blow the shofar. Everyone stands when we blow the shofar. The shofar that we blow before Musaf is called Tekios Demiyushav. You could sit at that point. You're allowed to sit. The shofar that we blow when we're standing means during Chazaras Hashatz, or during the silent Amida, depending on your practice. Okay? So there's the shofar that precedes Musaf before Shemona Esrei. Right? That's like the highlight. That's where the Baal Tukeya makes a bracha, and the rabbi says he's going to have you in mind, and everyone should listen, and don't talk in between the blowing of the shofar. All those, you know, things that the rabbi gets up to say. So that's called the Tekios Demiyushav, because technically you could be seated at that point. And then there's the Tekios during the Amida, during Shemona Esrei, or during Chazar Sashas, again, depending on your practice. So the Gemara is asking the question, why do we blow the shofar twice? Where did you get that from? Answers the Gemara, Kedei La'arvev HaSatan, to trick the Satan, to fake out the Satan. He's going to think the Mashiach's here, right? Tosas has a whole explanation. I mentioned once to you in the past, why is it that the Satan falls for this trick every year? How does he fall for this every year? He hears the first ones, and he hears the second ones, and he gets nervous. Maybe that's the shofar of Mashiach. How does he fall for this every year? So we gave a few answers once upon a time, but we once mentioned from Pinchas Koritzer, Zecher Tzadik B'Kadosh L'Vracha, one of the early Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, even though he only met the Baal Shem Tov, I think, on two occasions. For Pinchas Koritzer, it says in the Imre Pinchas, it's a very deep yisod. You know how the Baal Davar falls for it year after year? How does he fall for year after year? You know what the answer is? Because every year, there's a new Satan. The Yitzharas of last year, we're going to have new Yitzharas this coming year. New challenges. It's a new Satan. It's mamash a new Satan. It's not the same old Satan that's been chasing us around throughout the generations. Every year has its own avoda. It's a new Satan. We're up against new enemies this year. New spiritual enemies. Okay, so that's why we have to start off the year strong to show the Satan, put him in his place. We know you're the new Satan, you learned from the old Satan, you know where our weaknesses are, but we try to show him right away, you're not going to get the better of us. But it's a strange practice. Isn't it Baal Tosef? Asks Tosfos in source number 8, isn't blowing the shofar and then blowing it again, isn't that Baal Tosef? So before we even get into Tosfos, what do you say? Do you think that's Baal Tosef, based on what we know so far? To blow the shofar and then to blow it again. Is that the same as adding to tzitzis? Is that the same as adding to my lulav? Is it more like sleeping in the sukkah? Repeating a mitzvah? Repeat it? Is that why it's not Baal Tosef? Because I'm repeating, I'm doing the same mitzvah two times in a row? Are we clear that the second one is just a rabbinic institution to trick the Satan? Is it like the Rambam? We're furthering. We're not adding, we're furthering. Yeah, but can I say the same thing by tefillin? I'm not adding, I'm furthering tefillin. I'm not adding. It's a new thing. Why? Birchas Kohanim. I decide to say a fourth bracha. That's enhancing. That's not adding.
Where did I get that from? That's the same davening, same whatever. Whereas this is like,
so here it's more tekios and more shvar and more trua. And more tekiya gedola. So let's see. So it says Tosfos. Source number 8. Tema. Haka'avar mishum Baal Tosef. Isn't this Baal Tosef? To blow the shofar all these extra times, a whole second round, the shofar blowing. V'chiteima kevan dekvar yatza havelei shelo bizmano delo avar. If you'll say that after he blows the shofar the first time, now the mitzvah is over. And now when he blows it the second time, he's blowing the shofar not at the time of the mitzvah. So how do you violate Baal Tosef if it's not the time of the mitzvah? Let's say I like eating matzah. Say I like eating matzah. Yeah? So in Kislev, I decide to eat a piece of matzah. Oh, Baal Tosef, what do you say? What do you say? Why not? Because my kavana is not to eat matzah for a mitzvah. If I eat matzah in Kislev, planning to do a mitzvah, if I sit by my menorah on Hanukkah and I eat matzah, If my kavana is that it's a mitzvah, that I'm doing the mitzvah of eating matzah, that's baltosif. But if it's shalom bizmana, if it's not in the right time, if I don't have kavana, if I'm practicing shofar, in Hanukkah time, I'm practicing blowing shofar for the coming year, is that baltosif? Only if I think that I'm actually doing the mitzvah of blowing shofar now. Okay? So you could say that after he blows shofar the first time, now he's going to blow shofar a second time, but the mitzvah's over. So as long as he doesn't have kavana, it's not baltosif. But says Tosfos, he does have kavana. That's the whole point. We set it up that he should blow it a second time. Right? Tosfos says, in the fourth line, Tosfos says that he does have kavana here. Let's read it inside. I'm trying to skip because I'm trying to finish up this year. Because I promised we'd end a few minutes early. But again, according to Tosfos, the bottom line is, you're blowing it, and even if you say the mitzvah is over, well, then you shouldn't be blowing the shofar a second time with the intention of doing something. You're not just blowing for kicks, you're blowing to scare off the satan. It's part of the mitzvah. So why is it not Baal Tosif? Tosif's answer is in the fourth line, V'yesh Lomar. The Ein Shaykh Baal Tosif Ba'asiyas Mitzvah Achas Beis Pamim. To do a mitzvah properly multiple times is not Baal Tosif. If you look in Tosif's in source number 9, he says it would be like a person. Look at the third line of Tosfos in source number 9. V'cheinim natal lulav kama pam bayom. Let's say you like shaking a lulav. You shook it once. In the afternoon you got in the mood. You shook it again. Pick it up again. It's Pesach. You're eating matzah. You eat a kazayas matzah. Do I have to stop after you eat a kazayas matzah? Bal Tosif. Nah. Eat another kazayas. Eat another kazayas. You can repeat a mitzvah many times over, and that's not Bal Tosif. That's Tosfos's klal and his chiddush when it comes to Baal Tosif. So to create a new mitzvah, aser. To add a new dimension to a mitzvah, aser. To repeat an existing mitzvah and to do it multiple times is not Baal Tosif. Yes, Rav Isaac.
So you can't just like take yourself and put it back out and make a bracha.
Well, in terms of making a bracha, it's a separate question, because when I eat that second kazayas of matzah, I'm also not going to make another bracha, right? But in terms of doing the mitzvah of tzitzis many times over, right? Wearing many pairs of tzitzis, or eating many kazesim of matzah, or holding a lulav, right? The Gemara says in Maseches Sukkah that the tzaddikim of Yerushalayim would walk around all day with their lulav. They'd probably put it down to go to the bathroom at some point. They pick it up again. Oh, Baal Tosif? No! You're allowed to repeat a mitzvah many times over to show a love for the mitzvah. And that's okay. That's not called Baal Tosif. Okay? How does the Rashba, and we'll end with this, how does the Rashba resolve this practice? He quotes Tosfos, and then he says, the Rashba begins, the line that begins Zal, about 8 lines in. Go to the middle of that line where he says, Mistabra. We'll end with this. Umistabra, the Rashba says, I'll tell you why you're allowed to, the Halakha Rashba. One of the great Rishonim tells us, why are you allowed to what? Why are you allowed to blow the shofar and then blow it again a second time? Mistabra de lo kasha klal. It's not difficult at all. You don't need to come up with this idea that Tosfos says, well, if you're repeating the same mitzvah, that's okay. That's Tosfos, but the Rashba thinks there might be some problems with that. We don't have time to get into it right now, but there might be some problems with that. So Rashba says, I'll give you a simple answer. What's the answer? Delo amru hasam deika mishum Baal Tosif el b'mashu mosif midas atzmo. It really comes back to the Rambam. When am I being told not to do Baal Tosif? If I decide to do something on my own. Maybe even repeating a mitzvah. Because again, there could be problems with repeating certain mitzvahs. So if I decide on my own to repeat certain mitzvahs, I might get into trouble. The Tosif's klal is not perfect. That as long as I just do the mitzvah, the pre-existing mitzvah, multiple times, there's no problem. Rashba's not convinced that there's no problem. Again, how are we going to deal with a person who wants to take a lulav multiple times, or a person who wants to eat multiple kazesim matzah? We can work it out. But the Rashba says, you want to know the real reason we're allowed to blow shofar multiple times? Because no individual made that up. Who created this idea? Where did it come from? It came from the rabbis. New. Don't the rabbis have a prohibition of Baal Tosif? Look what it says. Kugon Kohen Shehosif Bracha Mishalo. If a Kohen makes up his own bracha, or a person decides on their own to sleep against Torah and Torah authorities, to sleep in the Sukkah, Shmini Atzeres, that's called making up a mitzvah. However, He says, aval, end of the next line, b'masha omdu chachamim. Last word on the line is chachamim. What the chachamim came along, v'tichnu l'tzorech. The chachamim said, we have a compelling reason to repeat a mitzvah. Ein kan bal tosif. Dekvar amra Torah al piya Torah sheyarucha. Who gave the rabbis the power to do this? The Torah itself. The Torah that told us to listen to the rabbis. So if the rabbis come along and they add something, again, bearing in mind the Rambam's rule, that they're not claiming the Torah says to do this. They admit it's a rabbinic innovation. Right? As long as they clarify that it's a rabbinic innovation, that's what the Rambam taught us. And again, as long as they recognize that there's a tzorech, a need, a compelling reason, then they're allowed to do it. And by the way, this works in the other direction as well. Concludes the Rashba, three lines from the end. V'hu adin b'val tigra. Can rabbis take away mitzvos? Now it's getting really controversial.
Yeah.
The answer is yes.
What's it called?
How about blowing shofar on Shabbos? We don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Who gave the rabbis the right to cancel that? Maybe he'll come to carry a shofar. He'll be in violation. Who gave them? Okay, so don't be a clown. Don't forget to either build an Erev or don't forget to bring the shofar to shul before Yontif. Rav Aaron Cutler, by the way, says, you see from there that look how much Klal Yisrael has to be prepared to sacrifice for one Jew. One dopey guy is going to accidentally carry a shofar. The entire Jewish people give up shofar on Rosh Hashanah because that one silly guy is going to forget and carry his shofar. Shofar is a big schus, but we give it up because we don't want one Jew to be nechshal. But what right do the rabbis have to do that? To get rid of shofar and Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos? The answer is, the rabbis have the power. Rabbinic authority gives them the power. If it's l'tzorech, if it's a compelling reason, and as long as they're clear and explaining, like the Rambam said, what their explanation is, therefore the Torah says, lo sasur min adavar sheyigidu l'chayim minu smol, listen to the rabbis and trust the rabbis. So when you come to shul this year on Rosh Hashanah, and you're wondering, why on earth are we doing this mitzvah twice? At least now you have two explanations. You have Tosa's explanation that you're always allowed to repeat mitzvahs, and you have the Rashba's explanation that what? That the rabbis were the ones who created this, and they found it of necessity to trick the Satan, and that's a compelling enough reason to allow this institution. Okay, there's a lot more to see, but I hope it's clear, and we learned two beautiful psukim today. It's Kabbalistic. Shkaya.